And Brother Sam mentioned about the man's house burning up. We didn't know about it ourselves. So my neighbor called, said, "I don't want to get you upset, but John's house burning up." I said, "Well, I don't want to get no more upset than I'm already, because I had to put my little wife's puppy to sleep today and bury it. That's been a rough day. But I said, I can stand a little more, maybe, I hope." But then I looked out to wonder, he was going out to talk. He'd done burned up right there. Just a little way. Ain't as far from here that corner down there. I thought about what Brother Sam mentioned about making a donation up for him. 1926, Doc Kitchens lived over here where Brother Billy Darson lived. His house burned down. Burned up everything he had. Didn't have enough left. Mr. Haywood Howell, some of you, almost there, you know him, lived over here. He looked at my daddy and said, "If you'll go and do the talking tomorrow, we'll go see what we can do." He said, "I'll furnish the car and the gas." Listen, my friends, that about a half a dozen in this whole area had a car. There are a few. We was among them poor, you know. I'm looking at some like that. Brother John M. Dart, you know, Brother Ace. We had none of us got rich in. Both of us walking, driving a buggy and a wagon. They got out and made up $150-something. That's pretty good in one day, back then. Got up to Jeffersonville. I don't know who it was. You know, if I could remember, I wouldn't tell you. The lady said to my daddy, said, "There ought to be a law against you doing such as that." Could you imagine that? Man had his house all, lost everything he had. Didn't have nothing. And there's somebody out trying to get him to talk for him. My daddy's pretty good about that, talking, you know. He could talk. He didn't mind it either. So I'll say this about it. That's what the church is all about. And if she don't do nothing about things like that, who could you expect to do anything? I trust this morning what I have to say to you, you know, that you pray for me. This ain't as easy a task as some people think. And listen, my brother, if the Lord don't bless a man to preach, he don't preach. He get up here to read a lot of scripture. You know, I don't read it perfect. I don't read this Bible myself. But when a man reads the scripture, I like for him to tell me something about what it's talking about. And if he ain't able to do that and ain't blessed to the Lord to do it, then he ain't done nothing for me. I want to be plain as I know how. And this lecture, what do you mean, Rupert? Well, I mean college professor lectures don't get it. Now, you don't feel that. I want to read a few verses here in Philippians, the first chapter. In the first verse, first chapter and the third verse. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now, when he talks about who hath begun a good work in you, being confident of this very thing. In other words, I'm not guessing about it. I'm assured that he that beginneth a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, providing you are submissive to God's will and you are willing to do what he has set out and laid out for you to do. And what is that? Is to be an obedient child here in this life. Be willing to come home to the church, take up your cross, and follow the Lord, the lowly Lamb of God. Serving the Lord. Not only that, but I noticed that, you know, in the I missed two verses, and that's important. You know why I say it's important? Because it addresses certain people. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ. Tells us exactly who they are. That's what Paul's doing. You know, when I get a letter, I want to know who it's from. I want to know if it's addressed to me, too. If it ain't addressed to me, you know, it won't mean much. Jesus Christ at Philippi. That's where it was at. The city. Right into the Philippian brother. At Philippi with the bishops and deacons. I wonder why he addressed them, you know, to start off with plainly and so outright. Well, if I understand what the Bible and what the apostles teaching here, they are the leaders of the church. Bishops, you get it now, B-I-S-H-O-P-S, and the plural, not just one. And deacons, D-E-A-C-O-N-S. In other words, what he's addressing them and speaking to them, that they might work together for the benefit of the church. You know, I've been here, I've been coming here a long time. I don't know of a better place that I'd rather go when I leave home than to come up here where I've been coming off ever since I was a little boy. And I didn't hear them preach. They preached long and loud. Big Brother Franklin mentioned that the other day. I mean real loud. You could hear it. Didn't have to have this. And I mean about an hour, hour and a half. Them old fellas, them brethren, and them deacons, you know, the other preachers, the tears running down. Who you talking about, Brother Ruth? I'm talking about Elder Homer Sanders. Uncle William Howell. Elder Elsie Bryant, Jim Frank Dykes. Don't want to forget, I can't think of one I want to think of that he's going to preach longer than any of them. He's from down below east, about east. Oh, I did, you know, I was a little boy and a little girl, you know. Y'all have it easy now, I want you to really understand. So we stayed all day. Don't preach two of them, sometimes three. You know, they didn't know when they got enough preaching. Well, they just had it once a month. Didn't have it no time, no, not Sunday night. But we want to get to the point here what Paul's teaching. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What he was setting forth here, that the bishops and deacons are very closely together and they need to work together in all matters. Because after all, the church and the body is looking to them as leaders. And if they don't do a good job of leading, you know, sometimes, you know, might be like that fellow, you know, that had two sons. The younger one, you know, thought he could do a better job. And he wanted what he had and let him go. Didn't take him long to throw it away, though, did it? You ever read about it? We don't want to get on that, but the thought is being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. In other words, the church here at Cool Springs is just like a home. You can have a good home or you can have a bad one, whatever you want. But we ought to have a good home where all in the home might be able to enjoy. And not only that, that we love one another manifestly. Well, you believe Paul preached that too? Yes, he did. Look with me in the second chapter, just a little further over. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I came up in a home where, you know, my daddy was he was the fellow that we all looked to. None of us, you know, got to grow up fast, real early in life, and we trusted his judgment and looked to him as being the one that told us all what to do. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, and let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, my friends, what the apostle is saying here, you don't do that within yourself. Brother Sam preaching down at Trail Branch last Sunday, Saturday morning, and you that was there had heard him talking about the natural man and the spiritual man. Now the natural man can't do that, what Paul's talking about here. We're talking about spiritual characters that have been born of the Spirit and power of God and know God in pre-pardon of their sin. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is that not the way he walked? I believe this same man, the apostle, said in another place, he said, other foundation can no man lay than is laid. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of the church. And certainly he is. And if he is the chief cornerstone in the building, and we are looking to him, and we are all working for the same thing, I believe that's what he's talking about. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's what he came for. Why did he come? It was of necessity that he come and put away sin. As you know, in the law of dispensation, they every year made offerings, you know, but that didn't put away sin. Never has, never will. But God himself prepared an offering that would forever put away sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born in this world, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my will. You know what's the trouble with a lot of us preachers too? I told Brother Sam not the other day that when we ordained deacons and preachers, From here on, I want to get that word self-will. If we could get, really dwell on that and not ordain them kind, we'd have less trouble in the kingdom of God. Self-will meant. But the Lord Jesus Christ said He came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is His will, that all He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Brother Sam mentioned that in his prayer, you know that? That's what we're standing on. My friends, I want to say this morning, as Paul said, connection it. And any time that you see a church, it don't matter where it's Cool Springs, Trail Veins, wherever, bishops, preachers, and deacons working together in harmony with one another and having a love and fellowship for each other and working like they ought to, you're going to see an inviting place. The Lord's people want to come. I heard last year sometime, and I forgot just when it was, a church, God, it's not around here now. Don't ask me anything about who it is, because I wouldn't tell you. And the deacon said they didn't need any more members. If they had any more members come in, they'd be having trouble and bickering, and they couldn't get along. So they were satisfied and happy with what they had. Could you imagine a man ordained to the deaconship of a church talking like that?
Lord have mercy.
Now that's, when I get to thinking about things like that, the Lord didn't put His church, He wasn't set up here to bicker and fight about. It ain't an inviting place for children to come. Little children I'm talking about. They want to see us manifested our love one to another. And it'd be an inviting place for them to come and spend the rest of their lives in and put their life in it. And not only their lives, but their means in it as well. I believe the apostle here, when he's talking about what he's saying here, I mean something we should consider. And being found as in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When the Lord said on that occasion, when He was being crucified, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that song we sung this morning, and I couldn't help but think about it, do we really love it like we ought to? Oh, how I love Jesus. Sometimes I wonder, really, do I really prove that I love Jesus like I ought to? I'd be self-conscious to the fact that I have my desire and what I would want here in this life, or would I really have what would be good for the church? And for all the members that are in the body. That's a little finger right there. It don't seem like it would be very much, but if it was cut off or maimed, that hand, that'd miss it. That's the way it is in church. Brethren, I believe we ought to pray for one another.
Amen.
Not only pray for one another, but pray for the betterment of the church. Beg God that He might bless souls. We can't call them. I used to hear them say, I want you to understand, I don't believe there's been a church in Georgia ever ordained in many preachers. I had a preacher one time to say to me, how do you all get along over there in Cool Springs Church with all them preachers living together? I don't mind telling you who he was. Elder Hill over in Hawkinsville, Ah, that was kind of a mystery to him, why? He said, knowing the nature of men, how men are. My friend, I looked at him and I thought for a moment, he caught me off guard. I said, well, I reckon the only thing I can say to you, I let we all tend to our own business and let the rest of the business alone.
Amen.
That's a pretty good idea, I believe, don't you think? I believe we can get along if we try. I believe that's what Paul's setting forth here. Are in the lesson, my friends, that you and I, as his children here, are in this world. Matters not where you're a preacher, or where you're a deacon, or where you're just a lay member. But you ought to have a great zeal and a desire. I don't want to praise your God while you live here in this world and see others do the same.
Amen.
Your Lord, it was like that. He didn't feel just because he was your Lord and Savior that he was everything. But he, my friends, did that and came here to do a work. And I want to say to you this morning, as he said about it, he came down to heaven from heaven not to do his will. But he did a work that no other man could do because of the fact that he was the Son of God. I want to say to you this morning, my friend, God provided that offering. And when the time come, we remember his prayer out in the garden. And when he said, nevertheless, Lord, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I want you to know it was sincere. Ah, my friends, I want you to know this morning, you and I ought to be more thoughtful and concerned about our church, and we sometimes make believe. I believe it's a serious matter. I believe it's one of the seriousest matter that you'd ever be able to make up your mind. Just the same thing as getting married is. When me and my wife got married, we talked about it. I said, Mom and Pa, Daddy told me that you don't marry just to see if you can get along. But you marry, my friend, because it's a lifetime proposition. And listen, my friends, when we come in and join the old church, I want you to know it should be a lifetime proposition. Don't get too many amens on that. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, as Paul said about it, being confident of this very thought, he that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that. That's a wonderful thing. I don't know of anything or any better and honoring while you live here or in this world. And then being a member of the church where you are prefer to be a member. And listen, my friend, you do not have to be a Primitive Baptist in order to satisfy me. I'll be called, my friend, I would want you to be a member where you want to be. But my friends, to me, the old school Baptist, Primitive Baptist church, I believe she is the church. And if I didn't believe it this morning, I wouldn't be here. I want you to know that I believe she is the church. I believe, my friends, that God bless them how to move this church over here on the other side of Allentown, over here in that old building, my friends. And she's been standing. She's stood a lot of storms. I want you to know there have been a lot of things going on around this place, but she's still standing. You know why I believe that she's still standing? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, being the chief cornerstone, are in the building here. Are at this place, and we are looking to him and him alone. And listen, my friend, as long as that goes on, you'll have a place here to come and worship the Almighty God, and you ought to have that great zeal and a desire to do your part.
Amen.
Now, there's a little bit I like to throw out on purpose. It'll be better for you to come in where you can really eat and enjoy to the fullest. But I'm thankful for all of those that come around, you know. And there's some of them. They're going to come around. They ain't going to join. Some of them come around to see what's going on and find fault. I'm not a, I just tell it just like it is. Ah, my friends, But I want to say this about it. It's a good place to come where you can get a few crumbs. But my friend, if you want to be able to enjoy a good meal and go home feeling good, you're going to have to step out on the Lord's promises and look to Him. And when you do, I'm going to tell you, my friend, it'll be a better place while you live here in this world. Won't have anything to do with getting to heaven and immortal glory. Your Savior died on the cross. He paid to send dead, and every one of them will be in that home, around in the heaven's throne, the same praise in a world it won't end. You could not make me believe anything else other than that, my friend. He is a great God. He loved his people with an everlasting love. He came here and did the work, went home, got it done, went home to glory, but he's coming back after. Oh, that's a sweet thing. I believe he is. I know he is. You know why I know? Because he said he was. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, my friend. I want you to know he wasn't just talking to primitive Baptists. He wasn't just talking to the members of the church. He was talking, my friend, to the whole family of God, the ones that he chose before the foundation of this world.
Amen.
I believe I'll quit right there, Brother Frank.
Amen.
Come on. Preach to these people. I'm ready if I could.